This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I mean, I might as well be wonderful, right?
Well, yeah. It could go. Not a lot of people are saying that they're wonderful, but we'll take it.
Well, there's different degrees of wonderful. You just didn't know that.
that's the difference. I didn't know.
That's exactly right. There's different degrees of wonderful.
Well, good.
There is the wonderful when your hair is fixed, and there's the wonderful when you look in the mirror and say, oh, I'd give anything to go to the beauty shop wonderful.
Yeah, and you're not there yet, are you?
I'm not there yet.
When's the last time you've been? What, 5-6 weeks?
Yes, can you imagine? Bay Bagby, 5 or 6 weeks out.
What are you doing? Did you just shave your head, get yourself a wig? What are you doing?
Well, what I've done is I've ordered all this stuff like the beauty shop uses. Now, I've never done this in my life, so it's going to be an interesting endeavor.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this will be interesting. It's going to be a case study.
Do you have a trained professional with you in case something goes wrong?
No, I don't. I mean, this is just going to be an amateur night.
Oh, boy. And if it goes bad, you better hope that you're off for like another couple of months because you'll need to recover.
That's exactly right. If this doesn't go well, it's not going to be funny. But, you know, all my life I've went to the beauty shop. I've never colored my own hair. I've never cut my own hair. I've never done my nails. And I'm up.
Yeah.
I'm fixing to have to do all that.
When's the big night? Is it going to be sometime this weekend? Or
it,
like
is,
next week?
It is. I've even ordered hot rollers.
Oh, boy.
I didn't even own any. Oh. And I've ordered them. I'm trying to figure out how to use them.
So you're going all the way. You're all in.
I'm going all the way. We've got to get something done here. We can't go on this way. Well, oh my gosh.
Well, good luck. You'll have to send me some pictures when it's all done.
Well, I don't want to end up like that little boy. You know, the little boy goes to the bathroom, locks the door, and gets his dad's razor and decides to cut his hair.
Oh boy.
He's now half bald.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, yeah. The little boy looked so bad. I mean, on top, it was just gone. He took that razor and went right down the top.
So he cut his hair in the wrong places.
He did. He wasn't a professional yet.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a learning opportunity. Don't cut your hair right down the middle.
That's exactly right. It'll save that. And don't cut your hair till you just can't go any farther.
Yeah, yeah.
Save that one. I think that one we better save back.
Did you? I see there's a bunch of videos on YouTube that hairdressers are trying to teach people how to cut their own hair. Have you consulted
Ooh.
One of those?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that until it just gets really bad. I'm not going to. Yeah. I mean, it takes a long time for your hair to grow out once you mess it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You make a mistake. If you say whoops, there's going to be a big problem.
That's exactly right. And this week I tried to order barber scissors.
Oh.
Now, I love Target. They're one of my favorite places. But they sent a dozen eggs instead of the scissors.
How did they confuse eggs with scissors? What happened there?
I don't know. I can't figure it out. I mean, I said scissors. I looked on the porch, and there's a dozen eggs. And I go, what the heck? Now, I appreciate the eggs. I could use them tremendously, but I really needed the scissors worse. But I didn't get the scissors. I just got eggs. Do you think they're trying to tell me something? That yeah. Scissors in my hands might be, you know, not the right thing.
Yeah, I think this is fate stepping in saying, look, Faye, don't get away from the scissors. Put the scissors down and walk away.
That's right. Because everybody's hair will never be the same once you've tried to cut it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And the good thing is if you don't cut your own hair, nobody else's either. So we're all going to have long hair when it's all said and done.
Well, this is true. Yeah. Mine's down to my shoulders now, so
really?
Can you imagine?
Goodness
yes.
gracious. It hadn't been that way in years, has it?
Not that long.
Wow.
You know, so I just don't know. But you say they've got these videos on how to cut your hair. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. There's hairdressers that because they all have to close their shop. So they're putting out videos on YouTube to show people how to cut hair. It scares me, though, because, you know, they're not telling you everything, because obviously you spend a lot of time going to hair school and learning how to do this the right way. So they're not going to tell you everything because you still need to go there. So I think they're probably teaching you enough to mess it up so that when it's all done, you're going to have to go back to them and fix it.
Well, now, here's my theory. Years ago, people would go to Aunt Minnie's house, and Aunt Minnie would have this wonderful dessert, and they'd all want the recipe, right?
Oh, yeah.
She would always leave something out of the recipe where it wouldn't work.
That's how they get you.
That's how they do it. They leave something out where you're so messed up, you're begging to go in. You know, my theory is when this breaks and everybody can go back to living like they should be, the beauty shops will be so full so far in advance, you won't be able to get an appointment for 2 months.
That's true. You're probably right about that.
I mean, people will be lined up at the door.
By the time they get done with the first cycle of people who haven't been there in months, they're going to be already ready for their second round of, you know, hey, it's time for me to go back for another one. And then it'll be another month, a couple of months backed up.
I think it will. I think it's going to change America. Everybody's going to spend. Everybody's jobs are going to come back. I think it will be a great awakening if we can just get there.
Yeah, boy, I hope you're right. And I mean, that's what it's all about. It's you know, you people got to get back to work. And I know there's, you know, the stimulus package, and, you know, checks went out this week, and or at least some of them. I don't know about all of them, but a big chunk of them did. And so hopefully that'll help get people through a little bit and kind of keep people a little bit afloat. It's probably not enough to completely replace everything, but those who are out of work, hopefully it'll at least help a little bit.
Well, you know, if they get $2,500 or $3,000, that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
And that will help them a lot. And then they're going to draw unemployment. Now, the problem is a lot of them haven't even been able to fill out unemployment. They said they've tried and they've tried online and can't get it to work. I don't understand that.
Really? Systems are probably overloaded then, I'm guessing.
I bet they are. But if they can just find some kind of a vaccine and get it to the American people quick, that will really help. I mean, we've just got to have something, some way to get us back where we were. And, you know, I feel for the people that are unemployed. My gosh, you know, we need them to be working. We want everybody to have a job. We want everybody to work. We've just got to figure this thing out and help everybody, you know. Yeah.
There may be some cases where businesses do business differently going forward than you know, maybe they have in the past. You know, maybe more businesses will start to have people working from home. Maybe they're saying, hey, you know, we don't actually need this big, huge office. Maybe there's a chance to reduce overhead, maybe help increase profits. You never know. I think the perspective on things is probably going to be changing significantly.
Well, and I saw this yesterday, and this is one thing I don't want to happen. They said, what if the restaurants have to use paper plates and have to have a mask? And, you know, when you go into a restaurant, they've all got the mask on and gloves. And I said, that isn't worth it, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, I want it to be where that we're safe and that they're not worried about us being safe coming into a restaurant.
we have heard that some states are starting to lay out plans for when restaurants reopen, and some of them are saying that the tables and the seating is going to be further spread out before than it was before, so it won't be, you know, cram-packed with tables. There'll be some distance. They are also saying that waiters and waitresses may start wearing masks and gloves, and they're also talking about having disposable menus that when people are done, they just throw them away instead of the laminated reusable ones.
Do you think this is going to be a great opening if we have to do all that? It's going to be pretty tough.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's hard to say, really.
But everybody is using the delivery services. Everybody I've talked to is having restaurants deliver at home, and that helps the restaurants if we can do that. If everybody can, you know, order some things from the restaurants, that is keeping them going.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them, that's all they've got going right now is their deliveries.
Yeah.
And they're delivering farther now. Used to, you could not get anything delivered. You know, like where I live, it's, you know, out in the country, and nobody hardly delivers. Now they're saying they deliver out here.
Oh, yeah, they'll be more than glad to come visit. And I wonder what it's doing also to other services that's like all they do. Like there's one frozen food company that literally all they do is drive around in their trucks and they deliver and you order online and they bring you your groceries and all this.
That's Schwann's.
Yeah. That's a
Schwann's. Yeah, they've been around for a long, long time.
I wonder what that's going to do for their kind of business.
Well, they're way behind, I can tell you that. they're 2 weeks out. That's how much they're delivering. I can tell you about it. I know.
Oh my goodness! This is your money.
Oh yeah, I have an order in at Schwann's too.
Oh, do you really?
Oh yeah. And it's coming the 22nd.
Oh my goodness! So you already have a date and everything.
Oh yeah, that's why I know how far behind they are.
You pulled out all the stops for this.
I did. I had to. I said, man, I've got those three little grandchildren. I said, man, we've got to get all this ordered, make sure we've got everything we need.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you're planning far ahead. And it seems like there are, and we're seeing this on some social medias, that in some places people are starting to see more people out on the roads, at least just driving around. Obviously, they're not going into businesses, but, you know, people are saying, hey, I'm starting to notice more cars out on the road. So I don't know. Maybe that's an indication that things are changing in some way.
No, it's an indication they're going crazy. So they went for a drive. That's what that means.
You're probably right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
So what about you? What about your businesses and people
Our
and
business
investors?
Is booming. We're taking care of so many people right now. We've got a lot of policies. We've bid on this week. We've bid on about, $4 or $5 million worth of policies. I don't know if we'll get them all. But we are, you know, ramping up. We're trying to get all these policies bought. We've got, you know, about $7 million that'll be coming in that of maturities that are they're not at the carrier yet. We're waiting on death certificates. We're waiting to get that done. So we're in a great place right now that we would not have imagined that we would be in. In spite of everything, our business is booming. We're just working hard, really.
So really, at a time that other people are worried and a lot of other businesses are cutting back, this is actually perfect timing for you because things are so thriving right now for investors.
Yes, it is. And our investors, their money is safe. They all know that. And that helps our business. We don't have people panicking like the ones that are in the stock market that have already panicked about as far as they can go.
Yeah.
You know, and their money is just a lot of it been lost. They know that their money is safe. You know, they know they're going to get paid. So we're really in a great place. So, and then, you know, we have people that that haven't invested for a while, that had money in their account. They're saying, okay, we've made money with you where we haven't other places. Let's go ahead and put that money in.
Really? So some past investors who have been kind of quiet are kind of ramping things up.
Yeah, they're coming back in and saying, you know, we want to go ahead and invest now. So I think that's really a good thing. We had a couple of guys, several weeks ago that came and talked to me. And then when this got really bad and the stock market really got bad, they had to pull back because they were afraid they were going to need that cash. They didn't have that much cash, apparently. Extra cash. And, you know, I'm always talking about that. You always need that 6 months emergency cash. Because if you've got that emergency cash in addition to your regular money, you know, you can make it through this real easy. And I've talked about that, you know, for years. Always have that backup money.
So,
and
when
of course, if you lose a lot in the stock market, you know, it puts really a dent in what they have available.
So really from the get-go, when people come to see you and they start planning for retirement, they start saying, okay, Faye, we need to get responsible. It's not just about, okay, put a lump of money into this. It's really about making sure that everything, all the tiers of financial soundness are in place. You know, yeah, there's some investment involved, and then there's, you know, making sure, and I know we relate it to piles all the time, but, you know, people, you're making sure that people have a pile of safety money. You're making sure that people have a pile of spending money and, you know, day-to-day, you know, access to cash, and then the investments on top of it. So you're kind of getting people's nest egg kind of diversified as far as what they need for the big picture.
That's right. And, I've said this all along. You shouldn't have all your money in the stock market. It's just too risky. I mean, who would have thought something like this could happen? And, you know, I'm always cautious when I say, you know, something about the stock market because it has its place. But, you know, I wish now I'd said more and harder about don't leave all your money in the stock market, which I should have said that. I should have said don't leave it all in the stock market because if something really bad happens, you know, you're messed up. You know, you don't have enough money then to get out sometimes. But I would encourage everybody not to leave all their money in the stock market, you know, to get it out if you can and do something that's solid that you don't have to lay awake nights. And I know there's a lot of people laying awake nights now because of the losses in the market.
Oh, yeah.
And if they can get it out and get 100% of their money out, it might be a good time to do that. We can still, you know, all we do is roll it over. We do that electronically. We can do that real easy. We can roll it over, set them up an account, and get them started, you know, where they have solid earnings and they don't have to worry about their principal. Their principal is the most important thing in the world. If you don't have your principal, you know, you're not going to make it. You've got to keep the principal safe in order to have money when you retire. So I would encourage people, you know, now would be a great time to make that change. And, you know, we can do it. We are having to do Zoom meetings. And if you haven't ever done it, you just got to get clever and get into the 21st century and do it. You know? We never thought we would be doing Zoom meetings. I never thought we would be doing this like this. But, you know, desperate times calls for extreme measures, and we have to do this. We've got to keep everybody safe. So, you know, we are doing Zoom meetings. We can do all this electronically. We can show you how everything works. You can see me on the Zoom. And if you've never done this, it's a new experience, but it works. I've already done it. I know it works. I've had several meetings this way, and they can see me. I can see them. It's just a new advancement. Let's put it that way.
So you found some really valuable workarounds for conditions the way they are.
Yes, like this, and we may be this way another 30 days. So we just need to help each other and make it work, which we can do. And I would say that, you know, our people, they're not having to get up at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning and check to see, you know, how much do I have left? How much have I lost today? And your blood pressure will go down. You'll feel a lot better once you know that money is on, you know, a fixed where you can't lose the principal. Your principal, if you don't have that, you don't have anything to work with. So I encourage people right now would be a good time. Make that crossover. Take part of it out that you want to be sure you don't lose. If you want to risk it all, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to tell you not to risk your money. I'm just going to say, if you don't want to risk it, put some of it with us.
Well, and that's really the whole thing, you know. It's like, you know, when you say protect the principal, that should probably be on a bumper sticker someplace. Protect the principal, and that's what investing in a life insurance policy does. It's really all about protecting the principal. It's about making sure that, you know, because we've seen the devastating effects over the last several weeks or maybe a couple of months now. I've kind of lost track of time, but we've seen the devastating effects. We've talked about how, you know, these things can happen. We really talked about this for years. We didn't realize that this is going to be the thing that makes the stock market go down. But, you know, it can happen. Really, it's not something that people often see coming. I mean, sometimes they do. Sometimes there'll be big sell-offs and things like that. But with something like this, having this kind of effect, nobody saw it. And so I hate to say it, but it probably could. It could get worse. You know, so.
Yes, it could get worse before it gets better. Yeah. So, you know, I recommend that you take some of that money, if not all of it, bring it over, put it to work with us. You know, we've got over 600 investors.
Really?
And, you know, 600 investors can't be wrong.
Wow, that's,
you know, and we've got a lot of people that have been with us now. I guess they've been with us 8 or 9 years.
Wow.
So a lot of people have been with us a long time. Every year we've increased, you know, new people. But I'm just saying, remember, this is in a life insurance policy. I would rather be invested in a life insurance policy right now than anywhere in the world. I would rather be safe and know that that principal is not going to evaporate.
So what makes it, because we talk about how, you know, this is an investment, and I think people hear the words invest, and now all of a sudden, you know, they're gun shy, they tighten up, they tense up, and they're like, ooh, investment. It's almost become a dirty word. So what makes a life insurance policy such a more conservative investment, especially with things that are going on right now?
Life insurance policies do not lose their value. They do not go down. And whatever you started with, it's still going to be that. When we buy a life insurance policy, let's say $1 million policy, when the person passes away, our people get $1 million. They don't get a discount. They don't get 50 cents on the dollar or 60. They get the face amount always. I don't know how to drill that into my head and everybody else's. They get the face amount. So they don't have the risk that you have in the stock market. When you're in the stock market, as everybody knows without me saying, when it goes down, it's down. Your assets have plummeted. I know people's assets have went way, way down. They're not worth as much as they were, let's face it. So when you have this, your net worth is not going to change. It's not going to go down. When we buy the policy, if it's $1 million, when it pays off, it will be $1 million.
So what about
and
somebody?
People are averaging, you know, I said 22%. It's really a little more than that. And now it's about 24%. Hmm. So, you know, when you can make, you know, 16%, 18%, or 24%, you know, it's solid. You know what you're going to make.
What about for somebody who's saying, well, geez, you know, I kind of understand the concept. I see the difference between a life settlement and something like Wall Street. But somewhere in the back of people's heads, somewhere is that little tiny seed of doubt that they're saying, well, you know, Faye, we're seeing all these businesses closing. And, you know Bob's Zenith TV repair shop went under. And so they have nothing left. So what's to stop a life insurance company from maybe going through the same thing? And all of a sudden, they have to close their doors. What protects that investment?
Well, life insurance companies, you shouldn't even say that, because life insurance companies have got more money than almost anybody on the face of the planet. You know, I mean, they've got billions and billions and billions. Pick one. Look it up. Look at their financials. You know, and when you see $50 billion, $100 billion, we're not talking about some little tire shop or a little machine shop. We're talking about companies that are huge. I'll tell you how big they are. They're refunding right now on automobiles $200 million back to policyholders. Who in the world could refund $200 million back to policyholders right now.
Because they've got it, and it's just basically to them, it's just pocket change, right?
It is pocket change. $200 million will not even touch their bottom line. And another company is giving $400 million back. And so life insurance companies have got more money than banks. They're as stable as they can be.
And the other thing that I'm really going to just a little bit of detail here, because this is a really big deal. You said before, and I, and forgive me if I'm saying this the wrong way. You can say it much better than I can. But from my understanding, from what you said in the past, life insurance companies have to have is it the cash on hand? How do you phrase that?
They have to have reserves, which is cash. They have to have reserves on every policy they sell. Banks don't have to do this. They don't have to have this much reserves. Their reserves are, if all these policies came due, they've got to be able to step up to the plate and pay. It's just like, you know, the policies that we've got right now that we're waiting on death certificates for. Okay, let's say what we have right now is about $7 million. Okay, $1 million payoff is nothing to a life company. You know, we've had them pay us like $5 million, $10 million. And they just write the check. They've got the money. They're the people we want to do business with because they're the ones with the cash.
So these are solid companies. They're sturdy. They've got their money there.
They're solid as they can be. They're A-rated, AAA-rated, AA-rated. They're the best of the best.
So that's really the cornerstone of the investment right there, is knowing that these life insurance companies, they're in business, they're thriving, they've got the assets, they've got all of the things that you look for when people are looking for a solid investment.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not right. But on Wall Street, some of these mutual fund companies, they're going to get the stimulus, and they shouldn't. These are huge companies on Wall Street. Yes, they've taken a hit. Yes, they're way down. But the American people should not be funding the mutual fund companies on Wall Street.
Well, now, I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that.
Oh, part. Yeah. They've put in for their stimulus package.
Really?
Oh, yeah. All these people on Wall Street are going to get a stimulus, and that's not right.
Wow, that's a little uneasy.
Yeah. They've lost these people's money, and now they need a stimulus.
Wow. So people right there is a perfect black and white picture of the difference between life insurance companies and some of these mutual fund companies. The mutual funds have lost people's investment money.
Yeah, they've lost all this money, and now they've turned in as a small business. Now, do you believe they're a small business?
Wow.
A small business is like the company you were talking about a minute ago, the machine shop.
Yeah.
That is a small business. These aren't small businesses. They're huge. They're on Wall Street. And they've got millions of dollars, millions and millions of people's money that they've just lost. And now they're getting a stimulus. That's not right. That's not right.
Life insurance companies, talk about this for just a second, too, because they get all this premium income, and they have a number of people, I would imagine, right now that maybe, you know, they've canceled their policy, and all that means is that all the premiums they've been paying in, they're never going to have to pay them out, especially if somebody has canceled. And so it's just extra money sitting in the bank. So there's just even more that people can be confident in, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, when people make money with us, the way it works is we usually pay 1% a month. So if you've got a 24-month policy, it's going to pay 24%. If it's a 30-month policy, it's going to pay 30%. And it's no deviation from that. Whatever it says it'll pay, it will pay.
So when you say 24 months, 18 months, 30 months, things like that, what does that mean? Because people in Wall Street, they're used to kind of being in the stock market for years and years and years, and they hunker down, and it's just like, I'm just going to stay here forever until things pay off. So what's the difference? What does that mean, 18 months, 30 months?
Okay. If it's an 18-month policy, it means the doctors have said this person is going to live 18 months, or they're going to live 24, or they're going to live 30. And if they come in early, you get paid. If they come in on time, you get paid. If it's late, you're still going to get your money. It doesn't matter which way it is. You're going to get paid.
So
and if people can go and look at our website and see what people have been making. We've whited out the names where you can't tell who it was, but it tells you everybody, and I think I'm behind again about posting that, it tells you how much the people have made on all their investments.
And that's
so we just put it right out there where people can see it.
That's access that that everybody has. You don't have to have a special account or a password or anything like that. You can go to AmericanFinancialMidland.com, see all this information, and it's all right there, and it's real numbers of you know, profits that, that people have been making.
That's right. We put up the sheets usually every month, and I think I'm a month behind right now, but I'll get those posted this next week. But when you want to know what the people have made, you go and look up it on our website and see what they've made. And like you said, it's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Okay. And I guess when people are saying, okay, 18 months, 24 months, 30 months, that's really, really fast. I'm not having to, you know, stay in this thing for a long time. Now, obviously, it's not, you know, in one and out and you're ready to retire. It's part of a larger picture. So we'll kind of review a little bit about how these 18 months, 24 months policies work together in harmony to create a solid wealth foundation for investors. We'll do that here in a minute, but this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330.
And your website again, AmericanFinancialMidland.com. People can go there, find all kinds of information, and every Saturday morning around this time, we always get into trivia. So what are we talking about this morning?
We're going to talk about Mary Frances Reynolds. Do you know who Mary Frances Reynolds was?
Not yet.
Debbie Reynolds, the actress.
Really?
Yes. She was born in 1932 in El Paso, Texas.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep. Her dad worked for Southern Pacific Railroad. Her mother took in laundry. She was Scottish, Irish, and English.
Wow.
She was raised as a strict Nazarene. She had one brother. She was a Girl Scout, and she always said she wanted to die as the world's oldest living Girl Scout. Now, I'm going to tell you how poor they were. I'm so impressed when I go back and read all this and find out about her early years. They lived in a shack in El Paso, Texas, on Magnolia Street.
Hmm.
And she said, you know, even though we were so poor and had nothing, if Dad had to, he'd go out in the desert and shoot something for dinner.
Really?
That's how poor they really were.
That's like something out of the Beverly Hillbillies.
It really is. Now, they moved to Burbank in 1939, and she was 16 years old, and she was going to Burbank High School, and she won the Miss Burbank Beauty Contest.
Wow.
And Warner Brothers and MGM came to see her, and they both wanted to sign her. They were trying to figure out who was going to sign her, and they flipped a coin to see who would sign her. Can
Seriously,
you believe that?
They flipped a coin.
They flipped a coin.
Wow.
And that's how she got started. Now, one of her first deals with MGM, of course, they let her do that song. Do you remember the song? Abba Dabba Honeymoon?
Yes, yes.
Okay. That was so popular. That was, and it made the gold record on the Billboard charts. It was so popular. I love that song.
Wow. Neat.
Yeah. And then her next deal was they decided to put her co-star with Gene Kelly in Singing in the Rain.
Love that one.
She didn't know how to dance. She did not know how to do anything. She was 18 years old. She said, he made me a star. He taught me to dance. He taught me to work hard and be dedicated.
Wow. I didn't realize she was so young when she did it.
18 years old. And then in 1956, she appeared in Bundle of Joy, and that's one of my very favorite movies of all time. Do you remember that?
I don't.
That's where she finds that baby on the doorstep, and everybody at her office thinks it's hers, and she's trying to explain it's not her baby.
Well, it sounds cute.
It was, and she starred with Eddie Fisher. And if you remember that bad boy, he left her for Elizabeth Taylor. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And the other thing that happened to her, she married old Harry Carl. He was the shoe magnet, and he did the same thing. He didn't leave her, but he left her in debt. She found out that he had taken all of her money. She was $12 million in debt.
Wow.
Ooh. She paid it every dime back.
Did she?
She
really?
Worked until she, yeah, she worked and worked. She said she had to do lots of movies, lots of everything to pay it, but she paid it.
Wow.
And paid every one of the old boys' bad debts. Now, one of my favorites, and I don't know if you remember this, is the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yes. Lord, yes.
Oh, that's one of the best of all time. And she was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actress for that. And they didn't even want her for that. The director told her, he said, I don't even know if you can do this. I really wanted Shirley MacLaine, excuse me. But 6 weeks into production, he said, you know, you are right for the part.
So he had to admit it.
That's right. She did The Singing Nun. There's just so many, you know, wonderful movies that she made. It's just hard to believe. Now, she had the Debbie Reynolds Show. I don't remember, know if you remember that. That was on NBC. And she had a contract with them, and it specified there would be no cigarette advertising. She found out somewhere along the way that they were advertising cigarettes. She pulled out of it. It cost her $2 million. She said, it was wrong. Morally, I cannot have cigarettes and the little children seeing my show. And she said, I don't care what it costs. I'm not going to do it.
Wow. And it cost her $2
million? $2 million. That's how much she lost by getting out of that.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, she was also, she could do almost anybody, impersonate almost anybody. And on her show, she did impersonations of all kinds of famous stars. I didn't realize that she could do that, but she could. And, you know, she was in Charlotte's Web, the animated Hanna-Barbera series. You know, she did a lot of that also. And she has won every award, I guess, there is.
Wow.
The Jean Herschel Award. She got the Lifetime Achievement Award, you know, for all of her outstanding work that she has done. And it's just amazing that she kept her morals all those years, you know.
Yeah.
And one of my other favorites is Tammy and the Bachelor, 1957.
I don't know that I remember that one.
Oh, my gosh. That's where she was out in the swamp and lived in this little boat.
Hmm. Nope, not ringing a bell.
Okay. And it was the song, Tammy and the Bachelor. It was number one for 5 weeks on the Billboard charts. And then, of course, the movie, is, as I said, it's one of my very, very favorites. And A Very Special Love was number 20. Am I So Easy to Forget? She's just, there's so many movies and awards that she did. But her nightclub act was great. Now, she was at the Riviera for 3 months every year performing.
In Las Vegas?
And like she said, she was doing 2 shows a night, 7 nights a week.
Wow, that's a lot.
And she said the reason she did that, because she had those 2 little children to raise, and she could do that and keep them with her. So she worked hard, you know, to provide for her children, to make sure that she was always there for them.
Wow. So she was really family conscious and moral conscious as well. And that's rare to find, especially in a town that people just, you know, sell out for cash all over the place.
That's right. And she didn't play Irene in the musical until 1973. And they asked her, why did you wait, you know, 60 years? She said, because I had 2 little children and I could make movies, I could do recordings, I could play Las Vegas. But she said, I had to wait till they were adults, but before going on Broadway. So that's what she did. She waited 60 years to go on Broadway just to be sure that her little children were raised by her.
Wow, 60 years is a long time to put a dream on hold.
And she toured with Harp Presnell in Annie, Get Your Gun. I remember that one really well.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a famous one. So, you know, you take someone that came up so poor that nobody even asked her to dances when she was in high school because all she had was Levi's and shirts. She had no clothes. She had nothing. And like she said, she didn't realize that other people had stuff. She didn't have it. So, you know, being poor didn't scare her, she said.
Yeah, she didn't know any better.
No, she did not know any better. And she figured if you were poor, that's just the way it was.
Wow. And then to end up so so the opposite of how she started out, that's fantastic. And keep her morals at the same time.
And she was beautiful. She's one of the most beautiful actresses I think there ever was.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that beautiful red hair.
Yeah.
And she always had that huge smile. I don't know if you realize or thought about it. In all those movies, she had this great, big, beautiful smile.
Yeah, yeah. And
she was always smiling.
They seemed to, like, they when they would cast her in these roles, they would play up on that. You know, they would never try to, you know, do something opposite.
That's right. And, I mean, to have two bad marriages, I mean, two really bad ones.
Yeah, not only.
I mean, she had the worst guys in the world.
Emotionally bad and financially bad.
Oh, yeah, financially really bad. But can you imagine she had these two little bitty kids and old Eddie Fisher left her for Elizabeth Taylor?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they were really small at the time. I remember seeing it on television, and, you know, we heard about it all the time. So it's just amazing that she made it through that as a single mother. Then she married old Harry Carl, and he took her to the cleaners and put her millions of dollars in debt. She had to crawl out of that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So,
a great
she
character.
Made so many comebacks, you know. And then, of course, you know, she had a museum out there. It burned. I mean, she had a lot of bad breaks in life. But every time she made a comeback and took care of business and was truly a star.
I had no idea she had a museum and it burned.
Oh, yes, yeah, she had a museum. It burned. She was trying to make a comeback. This was, you know, in later years. And all this memorabilia that she had for years and years, she had put it in that show in the museum.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah. It just everything happened to the girl.
Wow.
But she always came through. That's what is so amazing. And her daughter, I don't know if you remember, was Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
And Carrie Fisher, you know, died of a drug overdose, and she died a year later of a stroke after that happened.
Yeah, I remember because Carrie, I think she had a you know, the I think it hit while she was on a plane, like somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean. And then I remember her mother was, you know, basically grieved herself because they were inseparable, really.
They were, and they were so close. They had done some movies together. They had done some shows together. Her daughter had a lot of problems, but she was trying to help her with them. And her daughter came to a bad end, really. And then it really affected her, and she only lived a year after that.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like, you know, when you see how close they were, it's almost amazing that she had the will to go as long as she did afterwards.
That's exactly right. She made the year afterwards. But like you said, they had done some movies together. They had been on Broadway together. They had done a lot of work, like you say, mother and daughter. And then that happened, and then she didn't live but a year after that.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
but
it's
she had a wonderful career, a wonderful life. I mean, she was an example for all these people that have no morals and, you know, are unscrupulous. And here you had someone from El Paso, Texas, that made it big, that came out of a shack. I mean, when you think about that, they lived in a little old shack and had nothing. And went to California, to Burbank, and that set her on her career when she won Miss Burbank beauty contest. And they discovered her and they signed her up immediately.
Yeah, and to start a career out with something like Singing in the Rain, that's pretty incredible right there.
And they didn't even know she could sing when they hired her. They knew she was beautiful. They were going to make her a star, but they didn't realize she had this fabulous voice.
Surprise, there's actual talent behind it.
Yeah, this girl was actually talented. She didn't just have a pretty face.
Yeah.
And then if Gene Kelly hadn't come along, everything that came along really helped her. Like she said, Gene Kelly made her a star. He taught her to dance. He taught her how to act. He taught her how to work hard. She said that was it. The hard work really paid off.
Yeah. Yeah, and to have somebody like that, you know, early on in your career, I would imagine that probably sets a really good work ethic and a really good tone for really everything, you know? I mean, to have that kind of influence is priceless.
I think it is, too. And not only did she make wonderful movies, a lot of them were funny. You know, several of them were really, really good humorous entertainment, and I loved all of her movies. I don't think she ever made a bad one.
Well, maybe then this weekend it might be a good weekend to binge watch some of her movies.
I think it'd be a good time to do it. People are going to be home, needless to say.
Well, they should be.
We have to stay home right now. We're not supposed to be out, right?
Yeah, yeah. Don't get stir crazy and don't go nuts and start, you know, going in places.
Well, let me tell you something. The grandchildren have been down with the llamas playing in the sand with them.
Really?
And the llamas like it. The children went down, got in their sand, and the llamas just laid there right beside them. I mean, it's just the darndest thing you ever saw.
They're like sweet people.
They are. The llamas are so sweet. And when the little kids come down there, they love it, and that doesn't bother them at all that they're getting in their sand. I thought they might object to that, but they didn't mind.
Well, good.
They just went and laid down beside the little children and let the little children play in their sand. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, they're not very territorial about their sandbox.
No, they're not. And they have the best sand on the property. And the little kids know it.
It sounds so weird, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, things happen. Wow. And so that's our entertainment. And the other entertainment is them going to school at home.
Oh,
that is big entertainment, let me tell you.
How's that going?
Well, I think it's going pretty good under the circumstances. We've taught the four-year-old to spell his first name.
Yeah, yeah.
We've done that. We're trying to teach him his ABCs. And last night, he wanted to take a bath. So I get him in the bathtub. I've just sat down, and he says, Mimi. He said, I'm ready to get out. I said, why are you getting out so quick? I have school tomorrow.
Well, that's very responsible.
I mean, you know, I think he was just tired, but he said, I have school tomorrow. I have to get out.
Well, good. Let's hope he keeps that attitude going forward.
That's right. But he loses patience sometimes with us teaching him. You know, I don't know if he didn't think we know what we're doing or what. But sometimes he just gets up and leaves the table, you know?
Oh, really? He's protesting.
But everybody has an iPad. He has his own iPad.
Does he really?
And oh, yeah. I mean, he has to have an iPad during this time. And it has all your ABCs on it. You can take your finger and trace them and all things.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is modern math and technology for little children.
Well, you know, I haven't seen any myself, but I've seen things on the internet and on the news and things like that, that it looks like the way they teach now is not at all how they used to teach, and people use like different games and activities and things as opposed to just, you know, trying to memorize and here's a list of stuff, learn this. They do it, they have
right.
a different
there
approach.
Is all kinds of games. And what it is, the games will have these wheels and things. And if you say the right name, it'll go up on the wheel. The wheel will go up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's an advantage of technology.
And the other thing is they have music every day in school. They have physical activities that you have to do. And the teacher will be leading everybody. And you have all these activities you have to do. And the other morning, they had to do the La Macarena, the dance.
Oh, boy.
Before they started. That morning they had to do a dance.
Oh, boy.
So it's different, let me tell you. It's not your the way you used to teach, let me tell you.
Boy, you start the day with the Macarena. That doesn't leave your head for weeks. It's one of those songs
that's right.
That gets stuck.
I mean, and that's for six-year-olds.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and you go, what the heck?
And thanks for bringing that up now, because now it's stuck in my head and I can't get it out. So
there you go.
Thanks.
But it's a new world. You know, we've just, everybody's got to do their part. And I never thought we'd be teaching all these little children at home, in addition to everything else I'm doing. but, you know, that's just the way it is.
That's true. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And you haven't even been in Ivy Cottage in a while, have you? You can't go in
No,
there.
I have not been in Ivy Cottage in a while.
What are you doing? Are you going through withdrawals?
I am going through withdrawal, yes. If you can't go into Ivy Cottage, you know, something's wrong.
Something's wrong. All right, let's talk about
But now remember, Claudia is in the Midland office.
Oh, she's
Claudia
actually
is there every day.
Really? Oh, I didn't know
That's
she was
That's how we
there.
Can still get things done, yes. They have not closed the businesses yet. Now, over in Odessa, they have, but not in Midland.
Wow. Okay.
Now that, yes.
Just because she's there does not mean that people should just drop in. You still have to call, make an appointment, do the regular, you know, thing.
Yes, you should make an appointment. You should call ahead and say, I need to come in.
All right, let's talk about these investments, because we were talking about how, you know, 18, 24, 30 months, it seems like these little short sprints as part of a larger big picture that people can use to grow their wealth. So how, because we've talked about, you know, the actual policies and why they're so stable and so such a good solid foundation money-wise. So how does this work for growing people's wealth? What's the big picture look like? Because obviously nobody's going to invest in 18 months and then all of a sudden they're ready for retirement. It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that. You've got to have 6 to 10 policies at least. You've got to have some where some of them are going to come in early and just keep repeating. Some are going to come in on time. Then we're going to have some that's late. And you have to be prepared for that. That's why these are accredited investors, because they can make it through it. If it's a year late, 2 years late, whatever, they can stand it. It's not going to hurt them. That's why we have to be accredited to do this particular investment. You have to make either $200,000 a year or you have to be worth $1 million. And that's without your home. And that's not from me. That's a government regulation. A lot of people ask me, why do we have to have this net worth? It's what the government says. It's not what Faye Bagby says.
Yeah, this is not Faye Bagby being mean. This is like an actual
No,
law.
It's not me being mean. because I love investors, every one of them. But you must be accredited to do this particular investment. We have other investments. You do not have to be accredited. You do not have to be worth $1 million on the other investments. But this particular one, you've either got to be worth $1 million or you have to make $200,000 a year. Now then, we don't know what people are going to be worth by the time this is over.
Yeah, that's true. That could change.
And it may change. But we hope not. We hope that they're still worth that and can do this particular investment, or they're still making, you know, $200,000 a year.
So if somebody who's not accredited and they say, well, geez, you know, I really want to start doing something, because clearly either themselves or they've watched other people, their net worth is going down and they're getting further away from getting ready to retire. And so they've got to do something. So if somebody's not accredited, what other options do they have? What kinds of investments?
Well, annuities are the best option. You know, I was just thinking about annuities the other day. And this interest is compound, as you know. So if it's compounding daily, do you realize that a CD, the difference between a CD and annuity, an annuity will pay about $10,000 a year on $100,000 more. In other words, whatever it is, I've discovered that an annuity will pay a lot more over a long period of time, or than a CD will.
So
I hadn't even thought about it, but they will, because the CD is so low. Right now, annuities, if you have a fixed annuity, you can get one that's still paying 3 to 4% for 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, you can get one that pays 3 to 4% for 5 years. Also, if you do an index annuity, you've got a chance to make quite a bit of money. I was reading the averages yesterday on annuities, and it was 7.8% over the last 8 years.
Oh, wow, 7.8.
Yeah, so that's not bad, 7.8 for the last 8 years. Remember, an annuity is written by life insurance companies, and we know they've got more money than anybody. And the companies that we use are all A-rated. There's some B-rated companies out there that are offering everything but the kitchen sink, but they do not have the stability that we want for our customers. So we're sticking with the A and AA rated companies. The one of the ones that we love to write with is worth $58 billion.
Wow.
They've been in business 100 years.
Goodness gracious, that's a big deal. That's important
to
stress.
It's a big deal. A lot of these B-rated companies are not worth, but, $10 million, $20 million. That's not even enough to get you started.
Yeah.
So we're going to stick with the big companies. We're going to stick with the A-rated companies. And you can make a lot of money, and it's safe. Remember, your principal is guaranteed when you do an annuity.
Does it make sense for someone who's not accredited, who can't do the life settlement, but they're really, really interested in it? Because I think a lot of people clearly are, as really like the Mac Daddy of all the investments. If somebody's not accredited, does it make sense to go ahead, do annuities, build up their wealth, and then switch over? Is that feasible?
That's what I would do. And we have people that have had annuities with us for 18, 20 years. I was looking it up the other day. I've got one lady in Temple, Texas. She's turning 86 years old. She's been with me since she was 70. When she retired, she worked for the newspaper there. She put her money with me. I talked to her the other day. She's just turning 86, and she was worried if she had to go to a nursing home, could they take her annuity? And I said, no, they cannot take your annuity. And so I gave her assurance that she's all right. But we've got people that have been with us for years and years on their annuities. They never took their money out of their annuities. They're happy with them. They've loved them. They've had good returns all these years. So annuities, I would recommend annuities other than life settlements highly. I'd a lot rather have an annuity than I would be stuck in the stock market and lose my money.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You're not going to ever lose your money in an annuity.
Yeah, it's important to know, too, especially in these times. Faye, real quick before we go, there are three risks involved with life settlements, and we need to run down those real quick because those are important for people to know.
Your biggest risk is it can go over and you're going to have to pay premium. You always have to be prepared to pay premiums if it goes over. So that's your biggest risk in this whole deal. Not the risk of losing your principal, but the risk of having to pay premiums. The second risk is, remember, when you put your money into a life insurance policy, it is not liquid till it matures, till the people pass away. I think everybody knows that risk. The other risk is if a life insurance company ever went under, it would take you longer to get your money. We've never had one in Texas go under. We've not had one nationally go under for years and years because somebody would buy it if they got the opportunity. So the risks are very low. It's not a high exposure risk like the stock market, okay?
So real quick, policy availability, things on the horizon, stuff you're bidding on, what's
yes,
out there?
Yes, we're getting people ready to go in these policies. We've got about 10 bids out of several million dollars. I think we will be getting these. We will be getting people in them. We've also got about $7 million coming. That people are waiting on maturities. These maturities, we're waiting on the death certificates. As soon as we get the death certificates, we'll get it to the carrier and get them paid.
So there's a lot of opportunity to make a lot of money out there, but people need to get started, need to stop procrastinating, get up and call you to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. And the other thing is, they can do this new type of appointments. They need to quit being cowards and try it, you know?
If you can do it, anybody can do it.
If I can do it, anybody can do it. So step out of your comfort zone. Try this new deal. It will not bite you, and it might save your investments, okay?
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.